And in our exercise of late, we were looking at the Spirit of God's essential and necessary activity without which nothing's going to happen. All that God has done on Calvary's cross is powerless and of no value to us apart from his ministry. And so therefore, in looking at all of that, and we share together in verse chapter 5 and in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit singular, and then there's 9 fruits, and there's 9,000 fruits that aren't listed. In other words, they're looking at the Spirit of God, the person of God, in whose presence we sit. We're sitting in the presence of God. Now, God, what are you like? And here you are, persons, each of you. And you have all kinds of, you can think good, you can think bad, you can love, you can hate, you can do all kinds of things. Because you're sitting, all of it's inside of you. All of the fruits is the God, the fruit is the expression. God, at one, God's over here, loving, God's over here at peace, a God's loving peace, joy, all of it is God. So, and thus, when we read the little words in the New Testament and Old Testament, when we read them, we understand God. So God always, when he's dealing with Paul, it is a delight for God to do and work in the life of Paul. And so his delight, it's his joy to do so. So God, you're looking at the personal God, and thus expressions, as you turn the pages, love, joy, peace, as you turn the pages, you see God's wonderful character in action. And so in the light of that, and so we have been sharing that, and we share together that God is long-suffering. And the word long-suffering, so we looked at it, the prodigal son made a long prayers. It's used in Matthew. And the prodigal son made a far journey, distant, long. And then you add the word minded. Think of the word winds via storm. So when we, minded, I should say, passion, anger, wrath, long-minded, long before being angry, long before being wrathful, long before doing it. He isn't fast doing it. He's long before doing it. And we shared all these things, looked at all that. So, and in doing so, over, if we can, over to 1 Thessalonians. And thus, and we looked at it, I'm just going to tie it together to go to the next thing, I think. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you'll pick up the little word in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient, there's your word, long before being angry, patient. Be patient toward all men, so that you're always understanding God in you is long before being angry. And that's very good. Otherwise, we'd get clipped when you went to the, you're trying to get the teachers, trying to help you. And the teacher gives you, I'm looking back when I think of an illustration that pops into my head. Here we are sitting on our little desk and writing. And the teacher's up and down, looking up and down, as the teacher does. And so we're writing, and the teacher would come. You know, left-handed people like me, I trim my hand. I don't know why I do it, but I do it when I write. And you do that. Now, when the teacher comes, she's looking, and you get a slap on the hand with a ruler. Boom! Turn your hand right. And you turn your hand right and try to write. And as soon as she's gone by, you go back to the other. Okay. Long before being angry, to help us learn to grow and know if God wasn't, we'd get clipped. Your old nature is constantly against God. Every word, every thought, every deed apart from Him is your old nature. And if God were to judge us on our old, what we're doing, and had no space, we'd never grow. And you'll never know. We just wouldn't, because we get clipped. God's long before being angry. Be patient. God in you is long before being angry with the world around you. And you bear it. You live in it. And you can get angry at a lot of things, but you'll have to do it like in Ephesians 4. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry, sin not, but don't go to bed with it. Don't go to bed with it. Now, so long before being angry, be patient with humans. And most of you deal with humans. At work, home, school, be patient with humans. Don't jump long before being angry. Now, tie that a couple more places that will take us from where we were to where we're going. Over, if we could, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, and in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, if I may, and picking up, please, in verse 2. I'll read verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk, live, behave 24 hours a day, that you walk worthy, balance the scale, as we shared before. Walk worthy of the Lord, of your vocation. So when you got saved, God gave you a whole new reason that you're on earth. It isn't to go to work. It isn't to do this. It isn't to do that. God said, now you're going to fulfill the purpose. And think of the morning message that will tie into that. God said, I want you to go and practice, outlive the wonderful life that I have for you. Verse 2. Where are you called? Verse 2, with all lowliness, we're going to outlive that life, your life, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering. There's your little word you're looking at. Forbearing one another in love, long before being angry with each other. It helps. It helps. Count to 10. Sometime count to 1,000. Now, having said that, and James will do it for us. James chapter 5. And in James 5, you will note, and picking it up. And so in James chapter 5, going, if I may, in verse 7. 5:7, and here's our little word, patient / long-suffering, long before being angry, being patient. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You're waiting. Be patient, long before being impatient. Don't be impatient. You're waiting. You're waiting so that you don't get impatient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience. There's your word again, patience. Long, wait. You plant the seed, and you don't get up in the morning, and it's a giant. You plant the seed, and you wait, because that's what you have to do. You have to be long before being angry, long suffering. And therefore, having long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. In other words, you've got to let the seed develop and grow. Now again, verse 8, be also patient, long before being angry, established. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and you're waiting for his coming. Now, read verse 10, grudge not one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Hang in there, just be patient with each other, with yourself, and with yourself be patient. And verse 10, illustration, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience long before being angry. And then you start thinking of the prophets. And here's Isaiah, here's Jeremiah, here's Ezekiel. 40 years of ministry, heartache. And when you're done, you got nothing. That's what they had. Isaiah, nothing. Jeremiah in Egypt dies. 40 years, long before being angry. They kept going and doing, long before being angry. That's what God wants. Now, having said that, I don't want to miss out on the fact. So the unsaved, if you're not saved, you should be the people all around us in the world in which we live. If God wasn't long before being angry, the tribulation would be tomorrow. Get the idea? Tomorrow. Right now, he's giving grace, but people have space. Another year, 10 more years, he's giving him space. If he wasn't long-suffering to the unsaved, it'd be all over. So the people you know, work, home, school, coming and going, they say, and it lets you sit. You sit another 5 years and see, God doesn't care. Wrong. God's giving space. That's to the unsaved. To the believer. We're to be knowing and growing. Thank you, God, that he is long-suffering towards us, long before being angry. What does that do? So therefore, as we go down the corridor of time, what do? God, you're long before being angry, and you give me space to catch up. Space to catch up. And therefore, how long need I be missing you, God, leaving you out? I don't have to, you're back there, God, waiting, as it were, long-suffering. But in the same instant, you're right in front of me. And I don't only have to miss you. I only have to lose out on you for 1 second. If I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, I didn't have to wait. God, you don't have to wait. I'm going to learn quickly. It's 1 Corinthians 11 on communion. If we judge ourselves, why don't you judge yourself so I don't have to? You tell yourself it's wrong. I won't have to tell you. Judge yourself. You're not going to be condemned with the world. The world is long before being angry. So what are we saying, God? With all the while, we instantly can stay in fellowship. When we goof, when we fall down, when we make a mistake, we can fix it. Fix it instantly, and we don't have to have, God, thank you for being long-suffering, but that isn't what you want. No, you want us to stay abiding and in fellowship all the time. So thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. Got the idea? God's long before being angry. But boy, that gives us a wonderful way to grow up. So we can make a lot of mistakes. Little children growing up. Big children growing up. Big children growing up and little children growing up. If God didn't give space, where would we be? God gives space. And with a little child growing up, can do something 1,000 ways, 1,000 times wrong. But you wait and give him space to grow and to know. And that's what you do. God gives us space. All the while, we don't need any space. We're able to go and immediately keep and enjoy our relationship to God in a wonderful way. Now, so as you read long-suffering and patience turn the pages, that's what you're doing. You're finding God, God's wonderful person, and you turn the pages like we did to see long-suffering, patience. Now, having said that, over in Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, again, you remember, without turning there, maybe. In Galatians chapter 5, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 22. And now remember what we're looking at. We're looking at in chapter Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh, and this, when you get saved, God is against your old nature. So, every time your old nature seeks to do and be, the Spirit of God stands against it. Conflict, which you never had. Your conscience, your conflict, God's wonderful conscience, and awakening us in conflict to contest, so that we're trusting God and not ourselves. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And then it tells about the flesh. The works of the flesh are, verse 19, 20, 21. That's our old nature. And God in his wonderful grace, the Spirit of God brings us the life of God in the person of Christ. So when you get read in chapter 5, if you would, in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're going to go with God, you want your old nature's covered. Christ died for it. We're going to do that. And sliding over, you'll see it again. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you can't, God makes this all work. You need God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring the life of our Lord Jesus Christ home to your heart so you can exercise the life. In other words, you can exercise the person of God because he's right here. So trust him. What do we know about God? He loves us. He's a joy. He's happy, delighted to love us. He's at peace. He has every piece of everything complete. There's nothing missing. Everything's at peace. And we are in his presence. Wow. Thank you. What else? In chapter verse 22, long-suffering and gentleness. Gentleness. Okay, now we're looking at gentleness. And in order to get gentleness, which is a very large word, gentleness, go with me over, if you can, to the Gospel of Luke, if you could, chapter 11. Luke and chapter 11. And you pick it up in Luke chapter 11. And you'll note, if I can, here's the parable God uses. And in the midst of it, you've got to get a little background. Verse 2, 11:2. He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so on earth. And that's what the world's looking for, peace. Only God can bring that peace to the earth. Verse 3, give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, for we also forgive one another that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now remember the hospitality of the day, and people are traveling. They come to town, and hospitality would be it's at midnight, and they come at 11 o'clock the night. They come at 11 o'clock, and there they are, and your hospitality, you give them a little something to eat, drink, say, and rest. That's what you do. Now, so here they come, and they come to your house, and you don't have any bread. So what do? You hop over to the where you can get it, to the place, and you knock on the door. It's midnight. That's right. But these people just stopped in. So, and I got to get some bread. So, and therefore you knock to get some bread. Now, and you'll see at midnight, and in verse 5, and shall not a friend at midnight, and say unto his friend, lend me 3 loaves. Do you see the little word lend? L-E-N-D. That's the word we're looking at. Gentleness. That's the root of the word gentleness. Lend me. Now, and in other words, put into another's hands for use. Would you give me some of your bread so that I may give it to my guest? Take your bread. You're going to give me bread so I have bread to give to them. Another's for use. The state of need. I need something. What do you need? Bread. So you have got to get from you to me. Transfer from you to me. I need bread. So therefore, that's the background of the word, that's a big word, that you're looking at, gentleness. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Matthew and then chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6, picking up, if I may, and in the process. So, hand me, state, to put into another's hands, to have, to use. Thus the word use, U-S-E, gentleness, use, U-S-E. Useful, use, to use, useful, gentleness. Hang on. So therefore, to be serviceable, to be useful, to be of good quality, to do something that's good. Good, you're going to hand me something that's useful, that's something that's needed. You're going to hand me something. Gentleness, gentleness, that, kindness, goodness. Now, look at the word so you see it. Chapter 6. And you're looking now not at the word, not you aren't looking at the root, you're going from the root to the words. And in chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 8. I'll read verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for much speaking. The more you say it, the more you spin the wheel, the more you count the beads, it'll be. No, it doesn't do any good. Keeps you busy, but doesn't do any good. Now, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. The word need. Need. Lend me. I need bread. I need from you to me. I need something. To need. To give into the hands of another something that is needed. And need. So therefore, looking at to use anything for any purpose that you have need to make use of at one's disposal, for one's use, to make use of experience. You experience a storm, you experience the storm. You have to have something and experience it. Now, to see it again, over to Philippians, and in chapter 4, and just picking it up, what you're doing now is looking at gentleness. The Spirit of God exercises God's wonderful life, and it involves gentleness. God's life in you involves gentleness. So God's going to be gentle with you. He's going to be, using your illustration, you're able to knock on the door. Ask God, I need. And God's right there. To gentleness, to hand over to you what you need, to give to you what you need. We're in God's presence, and he hands to us. He gives to us what we need. Gentleness. Got it? Now, so therefore in chapter 6, as we read in verse 8, you have all you need before you ask him. And while you're in chapter 6, look at it again. You know it. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, don't worry, don't be divided mind, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Four reasons. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have what? Need. There it is again. God, you need to give us something. We are in need. We're short, three loaves. We need some bread. God said, I am the bread. Verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be get granted unto you. Over to Philippians. And what you're doing now is just going and seeing God is gentle. The Spirit of God exercises God's gentleness towards you. Now, how does he exercise God's gentleness towards you? He meets your need. And then you have all the little statements that keep saying. And therefore, when you come to Philippians chapter 4, and in Philippians and chapter 4, get there. And picking up, please, in verse 16. chapter 4, verse 16. And you will note, for even at Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto me, unto my necessity. In other words, they provided. Paul was in need as he traveled, and they provided for his need, his necessity. They provided for him that which was short, that which was missing. Philippians, by all your need. And you have to go over to verse 19. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. All your need. How so? According to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply all your need in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so God does that, the state of needing gentleness, God's wonderful, wonderful gentleness. God's wonderful providing, God's wonderful doing what he does, the way that he does it. And you aren't far away, over to the, well, you want for Hebrews, if you can. And just to see it again. Hebrews in chapter 10, and you'll catch it a little different way. And you'll note, in the process, Hebrews 10, going, if I may, to verse 10:35, Hebrews. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hang in there, because it pays off. Verse 36, why do you need to hang in there? For you have need. There's your word. You have need of patience. You need patience. That's right. You have need of patience. Like you read in James. You plant the seed and you wait. You're looking, waiting for the Lord's return. Be patient, waiting for long before being angry, waiting for the Lord's return. That's right, you're waiting for it. You're waiting. Be patient. Here, chapter 10, Hebrews. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have to go and be patient. Be patient. And you had to do it and to wait. And so you have need. But God shall supply what? All your need. So I need to have patience. That's right. But God is going to supply. He is gentle toward you. His gentleness, his long before being angry, makes him able to go in a most wonderful way to meet all your need. Useful, that which is used and useful, very profitable, very practical to do. So therefore, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and, well, one other place over here, Titus, where are you? And in Titus, up in the front, and Titus, and in chapter 3, Titus 3, and picking up, if I may, in verse 4. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward all men, occurred. And what's the word there? It's the same word, only now it's kindness. What did you need? God's kindness. God handed you something as we start, 3 loaves of bread. God hands you kindness. God is going to provide your need. You need his kindness. You need his kindness in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That the Lord is gracious. There's your word. Gracious. God gives you, provides for you that which is useful, needed. He provides in his gentleness. He gives to you that which you need in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, God is going to go, and you have tasted, as it were, that God is gracious. And God is going to go, as you read in Matthew 6, Philippians 4, God shall supply all your need. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. So God, thank you. God's wonderful presence. And I can look to God. God's going to be long before being angry. And I can but now that's true. So now I can instantly avail myself of all the benefits of God's presence. I can do that. So the Lord is gracious, gracious, gracious. Now, another place that you'll see it, is where you pick it up in this relationship, over to the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, and in chapter 11. Chapter 11, picking up, please, verse 28, you'll catch it. I'm going to do verse 27 just to remind us. Chapter 11, Matthew, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. You have to go through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. There is no other way. There must be no, there is no other way. Buddha, no. And all kinds of things. There is no other way. There just is no other way. Is God's only one? God died on the cross. No one else died. No one else created us except God. So verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take, that's a command, take my yoke upon you. Get yourself under that yoke and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So we're going to go under this, learn of me, get your experience, the word experience, to exercise, to experiential. You want to go and learn. Get your learning. Get your experience. Where am I going to learn to grow up? Where am I going to learn to enjoy being saved? I have to go to Jesus Christ, who's the only way. And so therefore, you need to trust Christ. How can I enjoy the person of Christ? You can't without the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's going to bring all of these, this wonderful, God's wonderful character and attributes, going to bring it to us. So that what? God is going to go and in your heart. And you need to learn of me. I'm the one. Now, and you know the ox yoke. The ox yoke is there. And there's two. And the Lord's under the one. And he says, get your head under the other one. To me. He's got his head's under the one. You need to put your head as a believer, unto one. What are you going to do? You're going to learn. And when the yoke's on, the yoke's heavy, and down your neck. And you got that yoke on top of you. And there it is. And the lead animal knows the course. The lead animal knows what to do. So the new animal is going to learn. It isn't, to fight the yoke is no good. You need to go move with the other yoke, with the other animal. Move. You need to move with Jesus Christ. Jesus, God in you is your life. So as God outworks his wonderful life in yours and you're moving with him, it's very comfortable. It's when you're trying to buck, God's going this way, but I want to go this way. But God isn't going to go that way. God's will for your life is here. He is your life, and he's lying down. So you learn. So you don't fight it. That's terrible for them. That's terrible. You can't get out. Otherwise, you want to escape. You don't want to learn. Then you don't put your head under the yoke. Take verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Why do you want? Because in verse 30, my yoke is easy. Gentleness. My yoke is gentle. It meets all you need. It'll help you learn of me. Get your experience from me. Learn of me. As you go down the corridor of time, you're learning in a most wonderful way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Light in a most wonderful way. So gentleness, the ready disposition to meet our need, to provide for every need, whatever it is in our life, to provide for that need. And so God, you got to help us as we get down the corridor of time. Looking to you, God, and the yoke is easy, gentleness, God. It's going to help us to meet all I need. God, I need, and you have to be the one to provide for the need. You have to be gentle and have to give, to provide goodness, and wonderful, all the wonderful things. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, back over to Ephesians. And picking up again, all you're doing is looking at, as you turn the pages of your New Testament, you're going to find words. You need to, what are you looking at? Words. They're just words. No, they aren't just words. All the words, he said, if you read the Bible, it's all about me. So as I read God's word, it's all about his wonderful person and his wonderful presence. So as I'm learning, as I read the Bible, God is helping me understand his wonderful presence. And he uses the words to help me understand how it works. I'll meet all you need, etc. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, and we just read, God's yoke is easy. And here in Ephesians in chapter 4, picking up please chapter 4, and verse 32. 4 and 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's our instructions, God. You're being forgiven, and therefore you forgive. Why do you forgive? Because Christ died for the sin of that person's sin, the same as he died for your sin. He took all your sin in his own body on the tree. Then why am I forgiving? Because the person in front of me, God took all his sin and her sin. And I need to communicate that in my understanding and my relationship. God, be kind, gentle with one another. That's what you're doing, because you represent him. But I don't have to be. Yes, you do. And we did. Anyway, you got the idea. You have to. How are you going to represent him? As I am forgiving, I'm forgiving you, he said. I'm forgiving you, but you can't forgive them. Can't do that. Can't do that. We do it. We do it. But we do it. So be kind. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Ephesians. And picking up again. And chapter 2, in the first chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is going to show forever. Now take what you just said, what we just looked at, just talked about. Now you're going to jump up into heaven. And God is going to demonstrate his kindness, his gentleness that he showed to you. He forgave you, and you're a testimony. You're his body. You represent him, that he. God, are you gentle? And then he points down and points to you. Am I gentle? There. Am I kind? There you are. There you are. And the world and angels can look and see. Wow. But you got to read. If you don't have reasons, the man, our old nature, just does what it does because it's so normally used to doing it. Or if it wouldn't, well, you got that thought in mind. Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. And if I can. And you'll note in Colossians in chapter 3, a picking up, if I may, all going to verse 12. And you'll catch it. Put on the Colossians 3, 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. There's long-suffering. All of it. In other words, you're going to let the person of God be personal in you. You're going to enjoy the person of God because he's so influencing your life that you're long before being angry, because he is. You're very kind and patient, gentleness, because he is. So God, you're dealing with us, and as you deal with us, we want to reflect to the world around us how you deal with us. And that is with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You deal with me like that, and I. So when I think I am a child of God, I represent you. So your wonderful person has to be foremost and first in the outworking of my life. It isn't work, it isn't home, it isn't family, it isn't my health, it isn't my wealth. It's you, God. So I want to go in a most wonderful way and look to you to outwork your wonderful way and your wonderful will. So God, here we are looking to you and in God. So here's the fruit. The fruit, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to be outworked. So therefore, I don't want to be so self-centered, and that's my humanness. But in being human, I'm saved. And God, your wonderful person, brings us your wonderful holiness, your deity, your wonderful person, the Spirit, what we're doing, we'll say godliness. A wholehearted commitment to God. That's right. That's what we're going to do. So it's the way it is. To make use of your wonderful goodness, God, your wonderful kindness, your wonderful favorableness, to have at one's disposal your wonderful benefits, your wonderful person. God, whatever my need, you're always ahead of my need. Even before I ask about my need, you know my need. So we're going to get down the corridor of time looking to you. And as we get down, God, you're going to be what? You're going to be a very useful, I'm going to say it, but you're God, you're a very useful God. God, you provide for our use in every way. So we trust you with all our heart as we get down the corridor of time. And so it's going to be our experience as we trust God, as we look to God, encouragement to others as you outwork your wonderful will in your wonderful way in our little old lives. So good on God. Having said that, so I have in my hands, I have in my hands the experience. We're supposed to experience it. We're supposed to exercise it. God gives us and meets all our need in a most wonderful way. God does so. And thus in the process, God, we're going to go in Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to go and rest in your rest. All that you provided, you made it possible before we were ever created. And when we come to know you as our Savior, we enter in to all the reason that you made us in the first place. And therefore, God, you're going to be what? You're going to be your wonderful person in your wonderful presence in our heart. We're always in your presence as we get down the corridor of time. So it's going to be our personal experience. God, you are our God, and you supply all our need. And therefore, when you see our little lives, what should you see? You see God's wonderful caring, God's wonderful providing. That's what God's going to do. You got needs. Oh, I got tons of needs. But the needs are there. But God has to help us in the midst of our needs, in the midst of our old nature. God has to help us to be knowing and showing in God's wonderful grace. And therefore, 2 Corinthians, if you would. Oh, forget 2 Corinthians. You can't do that. That choir. Choir says, so. But what I would say is, you're co-laborers with him. He's working co-laborers together with him. I gotta quit. Anyway, thank you for, I didn't mean to do that. Anyway, thank you. Hope you got a little bit to understand.